From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right to the phone calls. First up, Lily, Sioux City, Iowa. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have recently joined, well, I haven't really made the commitment, but I was going to join a church, and I'd only been going a couple of months, and I got active in everything, the Bible studies and everything. Got to loving the people a lot, and it's very hurtful for me to say this, but we have a disagreement with the Trinity at the Bible study. The pastor said, "I hope none of you believe in the Trinity." And I was just stunned when he said that, and he said, "You can't have three equal parts." And his wife chimed in with her opinion that if you had three parts to the Trinity, you'd have a three-headed freak. And I was just appalled that she said that. I mean, it's been very hard for me, but there was another matter, too, that came up, and it was about sin consciousness and how we shouldn't be conscious of sin anymore. We don't have to repent of our sins anymore because Jesus died for past, present, and future sins. And that we don't have to be sin conscious anymore. This whole thing just hit me like a ton of bricks, Hank, but I've left the church. I just don't know where to go anymore because I really thought this was a full gospel ministry. And I just didn't expect this. Can you tell me where this is coming from? I know what ministry they came from. I really don't want to say it over the air because I think it's a very reputable one that they got licensed in. But
I don't think
this came from that ministry.
Well, Lily, you may have heard me say this before, but every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And what you hear here is a caricature of the Trinity. The Trinity has nothing to do with parts, as it were. What the Trinity says is that there is only one God. So Trinitarians are fiercely monotheistic. We only believe in one God. But the Bible teaches that there are personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, such that the Father loves the Son and the Son sends the Spirit. This is the essence of the Trinity, that there's only one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And even when we talk about persons, again, we're talking about self-distinctions within the Godhead, subject-object distinctions, if you will. So the idea of the Trinity is something that is apprehended from the Scripture. So the Scripture very plainly teaches that Jesus Christ is God, for example, or that the Holy Spirit is God, or that the Father is God, and that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. And yet the Scripture teaches that there's only one God. So what the Scripture is teaching us is there's one God with respect to his essence and three with respect to his personal self-distinctions within the Godhead. Now, I can't fully comprehend that, but I'm finite and God is infinite. How can the finite fully comprehend the infinite God? So what I do is I bow my knee before God's self-revelation of himself to me. Now, if the Bible were to say that there is one God and there are three gods, not making a distinction between ontology and person in the sense that I defined, then obviously there'd be a contradiction, but that's not what the Bible says. So the Bible doesn't give us a contradictory image of God, but it gives us a mystery that's beyond our wildest imaginations. And this is precisely what we want with respect to God. We don't want a God that we can fully comprehend. We want a God that we'll spend an eternity seeking to comprehend. And so again, we bow our knee before God's self-revelation. Also with, yes.
I've been a Sunday school teacher, you know, I'm 74 years old now, so I'm not teaching Sunday school anymore, but I was very much into it when it came to time to teach for Pentecost, and I prayed, and I really sought the Lord, how am I going to explain the Holy Spirit and the Trinity to my children so in a way they can understand? And his answer to me was, take an egg.
Well, that's not true, though. You don't want to take these illustrations, because what I've just communicated is that God is beyond our ken, and every single illustration from the triple boiling point of water to the universe itself, which is time, space, and matter, they all break down at some point when it comes to the Trinity. And that's why I say we're far better off saying, look, this is what God has revealed to us in his word, and we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. Also, you mentioned this whole aspect of sin. Well, we are told that we are to confess our sin. If we don't need to confess our sins, then the Bible would be an error to tell us to confess our sins. And yet that is precisely what the Scripture says. We are to keep on confessing our sins. And when we do, he's faithful and just, says John. He will forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So yes, God has forgiven all of our sins, but that does not mean that we should not ask for forgiveness daily. And if we want to have union with God, we ask God in repentance to forgive our sins and know that his righteousness covers our unrighteousness, but we still have that sin nature, and therefore, to enhance our communion with God, we must daily confess our sins.
There still is a need for repentance.
Each and every day, of course.
In my life, there is. Maybe somebody else is living above it all, but I know in my life, there are little things like the disrespect for my husband that I feel convicted about, and I'll have to go and apologize to him for that, you know, not
yes,
just repent to God, but to my husband.
Yes.
And I think there needs to be more of a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in the church. Not this teaching would promote less.
Yes.
I mean, it would. So am I right to leave, and was I right to leave?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you do not want to be in this church. This church is probably associated with Oneness Pentecostalism and some other aberrations that have been fed into the entirety of the mix. But yeah, you definitely do not want to be in this church. This is a church that is denying an essential of the historic Christian faith.
Thank you so much, because my husband's had an awful hard time with me. But he's 80 years old, and he's got some problems with, you know, mentally. And he's just really been upset with me because we left the church. But I felt like I couldn't, if it was something I could compromise with, it would be different. But I just can't feel that I can compromise with this.
Well, you have done exactly the right thing. You know, there are always two options that you have in these kinds of circumstances. Is one, you can stay and try to affect change. But it sounds, given what you have described in the prologue to your question, that that would not be a likely outcome. I think you're therefore justified in finding a healthy, well-balanced church. You're never going to find a perfect church, as you well know, Lily, but you can find a healthy, well-balanced church where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where you can serve in good conscience, where you can give in good conscience. This is not one of those churches.
Thank you so much, Hank.
Bless you.
You helped me tremendously.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure you should probably find a church in which you can continue to teach, because I have no doubt that you have a tremendous amount to offer. And so often when we get older, and I'm certainly in that category now, you find that you have much more to offer because you have life experiences, your well is deeper, and that's when you ought to be teaching. And I think that given your brokenness in teaching, that adds to the mix tremendously in terms of God's use, because God uses broken vessels. And when he breaks us, we become so much more usable in his kingdom and for his glory. So I hope that you will find a place to teach within a healthy, well-balanced church.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you, Lily. And wow, what a touching call. I'm so happy to have had that kind of time with Lily. She's underscored something very, very important, and that is we can't compromise when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. I mean, this is the very foundation on which the gospel rests. It is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. It is the North Star by which the Christian church has set its sail. And thus, we may never compromise, confuse, or in this case, outright contradict the essentials of the historic Christian faith. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back.
Have you heard about the new Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition? In this beautiful leather-bound resource, Hank Hanegraaff has taken on-air answers to more than 200 questions and chiseled them down until only the gem emerges. Questions involving the Bible, religion, cults, science, the afterlife, and much more. Discover answers to your questions in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and expanded in 2024. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Phil. He's listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was listening to a program recently, and they claim that based upon a survey, 80% of Americans claim to believe in God or some kind of higher power, and that only 9% of Americans call themselves born-again believers. And I've also heard a couple of well-known Christians say themselves that, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of them born-again believers. What are your thoughts about that, and what are your thoughts about the words born-again?
Well, I mean, it's a word that has taken on the barnacles of time and almost become connotative, but the reality is it's a biblical phrase. It's a biblical moniker. Jesus Christ said this very thing to Nicodemus. And so I don't think that there's any problem whatsoever to go back to the denotative meaning that Jesus imbues into those words, which is that flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit, and therefore we ought not to marvel, as Jesus said, when I say, you must be born again. So there are only born-again believers. There are no other kinds of believers. At the end of the day, we must be born anew or born from above to be a follower or an apprentice of Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual birth that takes place. So we not only recognize the truth, but we embrace the life of Jesus Christ.
Well, all right. I really appreciate that.
Well, you got it, Phil. Thank you so much. And, you know, I've often said there are no real atheists. And the reason I say that is that God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness. And therefore, we have an inner knowledge that God exists. But people try to expunge that knowledge. They try to drown it in darkness. But light has come into the world. And we can embrace that light, and as a result of embracing that light, we can experience, enjoy the life of Jesus Christ within. As I've said before, and this is certainly not original to me, the Christian life is not just a changed life, it is an exchanged life, it is the engrafted life, it is the life of Christ within that allows us to move through the tangled web of human existence. Back to the phone lines, talk to Melvin. He's listening in Irving, Texas. Hi, Melvin.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling because I pastor a small church, you know, 30, 35 people. I've been preaching about a little over 10 years, 15 or so. And I hear you talk a lot about people being in a healthy, well-balanced church. And haven't really had any seminary training, but a lot of study, a lot of different software and online courses and things of that nature to prepare myself. Teach the basics, you know, justification, sanctification, the need for salvation, all of those things. I teach that regularly, some real good books in our Bible class. And I just want to make sure that maybe even though I'm not seminary trained, is that going to hinder the church growth at all, or the growth of not the church, but the people?
Well, I think it's important for you to continue learning, to continue being an apprentice of Jesus Christ, a learner, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. So you will continue to learn, and as you learn out of the overflow of what you learn, not only about truth, but also about life, you can feed your flock. And, you know, there are many examples throughout church history of people in the exact same condition that you describe yourself in. A.W. Tozer, for example, who has blessed multiplied millions in the past and continues to do so in the present, was not trained in a seminary. He was trained because he loved the Word of God, and he read good books, as you describe that you do. And he continued to grow in grace and knowledge. And as a result of that, out of the overflow of that life and doctrine, you know, of course, Paul said that to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. And he says, don't let anybody look down at you because you're young. He's speaking to Timothy, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and faith, in love and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. You know, so he's admonishing young Timothy as an apprentice to, and Timothy had no seminary training, to continue to grow in grace and knowledge and to build on the gift that had been given to him. So again, if this is your calling, be vigilant, be diligent, and you can carry on that work with great, great faithfulness and fruitfulness in the kingdom.
Okay, I appreciate that, because I hear, I guess what concerns me is that you hear so much going on, and though I may not have had a lot of training, I do know truth when I hear it, and I hear so much of what's going on in the church today with this crazy doctrine of this declaring and claiming and naming and speaking things into existence and, you know, things of that nature, and it concerns me, and I try as best I can to defend or protect, I guess you say, the people that's under my charge from that type of teaching. And it just concerns me when I hear it in the church a lot.
Well, that's what a shepherd does. So you're demonstrating another attribute. You are a shepherd, and a shepherd protects the flock. The shepherd doesn't let the wolf into the sheep pen. And so you are, again, exemplary in what you're doing in that regard.
Well, I appreciate it, Hank, because I really, when you say that, I sometimes I feel convicted to make sure that I'm on the right path, because I hear that a lot, a healthy, well-balanced church, and it just makes so much sense to me in my spirit until I just feel like I just have to make sure that that's what I'm doing where I am, you know, and in my service to make sure that the church that I serve is a healthy, well-balanced church.
Sure, and what does that mean? I mean, it really means that the church has three legs to it, as it were, so it doesn't topple over. You worship God in spirit and in truth through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word. That's number one. Number two, you're a church that is demonstrating the oneness that is delineated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, which would be a good chapter to memorize and meditate upon, because that is, in essence, a chapter that really underscores what oneness is all about. We are one body with many members, and each member belongs to all the others. And so we show oneness in contribution. We show oneness in communion. We actually show oneness in baptism. You know, we're baptized as living stones in the temple of God. And so it's not rugged individualism, but we are a community of faith. And then thirdly, it's really important that Christians are equipped to communicate what they believe and why they believe it, so that they can use their well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to reach a lost and searching world, so that this church is no longer inbred, but it is a church that is reaching out to the world, impacting the world. I was with a pastor of a small church in Palo Alto, and I was just amazed. God had given him a big vision, and as a result of the vision God had given him, he was reaching out to the homeless, and that was his particular calling, and doing so in such a marvelous way. And I had the opportunity to see the fruit of that ministry in actual real circumstances. I was so greatly moved by that. Here's a pastor again of a small church that is doing great things for the Lord, because he sees an opportunity, he recognizes the voice of God, and then he acts upon it.
Well, thanks a lot, Hank. Thanks a lot, Hank. You really helped me. I appreciate it.
Well, you got it, Melvin. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you would bless Melvin. Use him as an instrument of your grace. Lord, I pray that you would cause him to be a shepherd that leads his flock in worship of you. We are created to worship you. Lord, I pray that his church might be a testimony to the world of oneness, regardless of size. Lord, We do not despise the day of small beginnings. And Lord, I pray that he would also be faithful in equipping his people to go out and reach a lost and searching world. And again, Lord, we do this not by might nor by power, but only through your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got it. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Melvin, and may God add his riches and his blessings to your wonderful ministry. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Renee, listening in North Carolina. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have a question. Is there a place in the Bible that God commands us not to drink, meaning any alcohol at all?
No, I know that— not at all. What the Bible is clear about with respect to alcohol is very similar to what the Bible is clear about with respect to food. We're called not to be a glutton nor a wine bibber. And the reason is that we are to be stewards of both our metaphysical aspect of humanity and our physical aspect of humanity. And that's why Proverbs 23, for example, says, "Listen, my son, be wise, set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat." See how the two are linked? "For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." So it's important, again, that we are stewards of the entirety of who we are as human beings, both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.